I will know where you are all the time by your Radahan.
You mean any sister can find me by this cursed thing?
No, only the one who gave it to you, because she held it and recognizes its power. And since I'm in charge of you, I must be able to know where you are at all times, so I will need to allow my Han to recognize your Radahan's unique feel. She pushed the door open and went into the dark room. With a sweep of her arm, lamps set all around the room sprang to flame.
You must teach me that trick, he muttered.
It's not a trick. It's simply my Han, and that's the simplest of many things I will teach you.
The ceiling of the huge room was painted around its molding with different colored lines in intricate patterns. The walls were paneled in cherry of a warm color. Tall windows hung with rich, deep blue moire drapes looked out on the night. There was a fireplace with a white column to each side. Most of the wood floor was covered with thick carpets. Comfortable-looking chairs and couches were placed about the room and arranged in front of the fireplace. Richard thought that his whole house would fit twice into the room. He slipped the pack off his back and leaned it against the wall next to the fireplace. He stood the quiver of arrows and the unstrung bow beside it. He went to the right, to a set of double doors made up of small panes of glass and covered over with sheer, cream-colored curtains. Beyond the doors was an expansive balcony overlooking the city. Stone urns filled with flowers were set about the slate floor of the balcony. He put his fingers to the marble railing as he looked to his right, past the sparkling lights of the city, to the hills from where he had come.
The sunsets are beautiful from this balcony, Pasha said.
Richard wasn't interested in sunsets. He studied the courtyard below, the gates, the roads, the patrolling soldiers, and the bridges to the city and the hills beyond. He tried to fix a map of it all into his head. He went back inside and marched to the other end of the room, to the doorway there. Beyond was a bedroom almost as large as the first room. It held the largest bed he had ever seen, covered with a deep purple quilt. Another pair of glass doors led to another balcony, but this one looked south, out over the sea.
It's a beautiful view, Pasha said. A romantic view.
She saw that he was looking to the sections of the palace below. She pointed.
Across that courtyard are some of the women's quarters, where most of the sisters' rooms are.
She shook the finger at him.
You will stay away from them, young man.
She turned away.
Unless a sister invites you to her room,
she added under her breath.
What do I call you?
He asked.
Sister Pasha?
She giggled.
No, I'm a novice, though I hope to become a sister if I prove myself with you. Until then, I am simply Pasha.
Richard turned to her, directing a glare to her eyes.
My name is Richard. Do you have trouble remembering it?
Look here, you are assigned to me and—
If that is too difficult for you to remember, you have no chance of ever becoming a sister. Because if you insist on trying to demean me by calling me by other than my name, I will see to it that you quickly fail in your test.
He leaned over her as he glowered down at her wide eyes.
Do you understand, Pasha?
She swallowed.
You will not raise your voice to me, young—
She lifted her chin a little.
You will not raise your voice to me, Richard.
That's better.
Thank you. He hoped she would leave it at that. He was in no mood to be kind if she did not. He turned away. This balcony held less of a view of the things he was interested in, and so he went back into the bedroom. She followed on his heels.
Look here, Richard. You will learn some manners, or else I will—
That was the end of his indulgence. He spun to her. She lurched to a halt, almost colliding with him.
You've never been in charge of anyone before, have you?
She didn't move.
I would say that this is the first time you have been given responsibility, and you are terrified you will muck it up. Since you are inexperienced, you think acting like a tyrant will fool people into thinking you know what you are doing.
Well, I—
Her voice trailed off as he leaned down, putting his face close to hers.
You should not be frightened of letting me see that you are inexperienced at commanding people, Pasha. What you should be frightened of is that I will kill you.
Her eyes narrowed with indignation.
Don't you dare threaten me.
This is a game to you. A way for you to fulfill some arcane rules by prancing around, pulling your little puppy around by his collar and training him to lick your hand so you may gain a new rank.
He gritted his teeth as he lowered his voice.
It is not a game to me.
Pasha. It's a matter of life and death. I am a prisoner, held in a collar, as a beast or a slave. I have only as much control of my life as you people allow. I know I am to be tortured by you as a way of breaking my will. You are wrong, Pasha, if you think that I'm making a threat. I'm not. I am making a promise.
I'm not what you think of me, Richard, she said in a small voice. I want to be your friend.
You are not my friend. You are my captor.
He held a finger up in front of her face. Don't you ever turn your back on me, because I will kill you, just as I killed the last person who held me prisoner in a collar. She blinked up at him.
Richard, I don't know what happened to you before, but we're not like that. I want to be a sister of the light to help people see the Creator's goodness.
Richard was dangerously close to letting the magic slip from his control. He struggled to maintain his grip. He had other things to do.
I am not interested in your theology. Just remember what I told you.
She smiled.
I will. I apologize for making you angry by calling you other than by your name. Please forgive me. I've never done this before. I was only doing as I thought I should, following the rules as I was trained.
Forget the rules. Just be yourself and you will have less trouble in life.
If that would help you believe that I'm only trying to help you, then that's what I shall do.
She pointed.
Here, sit on the edge of the bed.
Why? Though she didn't move, he felt a gentle push. He fell back to sit on the edge of the bed.
Don't!
She stepped between his legs, close to him.
Hush! Let me do my job. I told you before, I must let my Han come to know your Radahan, so I will know where you are at all times.
She put her hands to each side of his neck, over the collar. She closed her eyes. Her breasts were right in front of his face, moving with each breath. He felt a soft, tingling sensation that sank all the way to his toes and then came back up through him. It was slightly uncomfortable, but not unpleasant, and in fact, the longer it went on, the better it felt. When she took her hands away, the absence of the sensation was agony for a moment. The world seemed to hum and spin. He shook his head.
What did you do?
I simply let my Han come to know your Radahan.
She looked a little dazed. She swallowed as a tear ran down her cheek.
And something of your Han, your essence.
She turned away. Richard stood.
Does that mean that you will always know where I am now?
By my collar? She nodded weakly as she strode slowly across the room. Her voice regained its control.
What are your preferences for food? Your special requirements?
I don't eat meat.
She stopped in her tracks.
That's one I've never heard before.
And I guess I don't like cheese anymore either.
She considered a moment, then walked on.
I will tell the cooks your special requirements.
A plan was forming in his head, and she wasn't part of it. He needed to get rid of her. Pasha went to a tall, pickled pine wardrobe. It was filled with fine clothes. There were trousers of a smooth weave, at least a dozen shirts, mostly white, some with ruffles, and coats of every color.
These are yours, she said.
If everyone was surprised I was grown, why are they a size of a grown man?
She inspected the various items, feeling the fabric, taking some out and holding them up for a better look.
Someone must have known. Verna must have told them.
Sister Verna.
She put a black coat back.
I'm sorry, Richard, but it is just Verna now.
She pulled out a white shirt.
Do you like this?
No, I would look foolish wearing fancy things like that.
She smiled coquettishly.
I think you would look very handsome in it. But if it doesn't please you, there are coins on the table over there. I'll show you some shops in the city, and you may purchase whatever you like better.
Richard glanced to the marble-topped table. There was a silver bowl of silver coins, and next to it, a gold bowl heaped full with gold coins. If he worked his whole life as a guide, he would never earn even half that much gold.
It's not mine.
Of course it is. You're a guest of the palace, and the palace provides whatever our guests require. If you use that up, it will be replaced.
She pulled out a red coat with gold brocade on the shoulders and cuffs. Her eyes brightened.
Richard, this would look simply grand on you.
Even if you cover a collar with precious gems, it's still a collar.
This has nothing to do with your Radahan. What you're wearing is disgusting. You look like some savage from the woods. She held the red coat open. Here, try this on. He snatched the coat from her hands and threw it on the bed. Gripping her by the arm, he marched her to the door in the front room.
Richard, stop it! What are you doing?
He pulled the door open.
I'm tired. It's been a long day. Good night, Pasha.
Richard, I'm only trying to help you look better. You look uncivilized in that outfit. You look like some huge beast.
He went calm as he took in her blue dress, blue the color of Kaylin's wedding dress.
That color does not become you, he said. Does not become you at all.
She stood in the hall, staring at him with big brown eyes. He kicked the door shut. He waited a few minutes and then checked the hall. There was no sign of her. He went to his pack, beside the fireplace, and started taking things out. He wouldn't need everything. No need carrying all his extra clothes. As he was stretching the string to the bow, there was a soft rap at the door. He crept across the carpet, listening. Maybe she would go away if he didn't answer it. He didn't need her hanging around telling him what to wear. He had important things to do. The soft knock came again. Maybe it wasn't Pasha. Richard pulled his knife. He yanked the door open.
Sister Verna!
I just saw Pasha running down the hall in tears. I'm surprised at you, Richard. She lifted an eyebrow to him. I didn't think it would take you that long. I've been hiding around a corner, afraid I would be caught while I waited. A shawl capped her curly hair and spread down over her shoulders. Did you have to make her cry?
She's fortunate I didn't make her bleed.
She lifted the shawl from her head and settled it around her shoulders. A small smile touched her lips. May I come in? He held out his arm in invitation. And it is simply Verna, she said as she stepped through the threshold. I am not a sister. He slipped the knife back into its sheath.